Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Awesome. Thank you, team. Fantastic. We are going to get straight into the word. Are you ready? Have you come today like we prayed, with heart open, ready to receive, ready to lean into all that God desires to do in you today? Come on, we're going to get into it. Before we do, though, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. But before we go there, I just want to give you a little bit of context. In Numbers chapter 13, we're going to be reading about the Israelites. We know that Israelites were God's chosen people. They are featured all throughout Scripture as an example of the Christian journey, of the Christian life. And we see what happens for the Israelites is they get saved out of slavery in Egypt by God. They led by Moses. They crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness. And after what scholars believe was between 1 or 2 years, God led the people across the wilderness to the promised land for the first time they encounter this place. They actually get to the edge of the promised land at a place called Kadesh. Say Kadesh. And at Kadesh, they stopped and Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land to spy out the land and to bring back a report to the people. And we're going to pick this up from when the spies have returned back to Moses, Numbers 13, verse 26. It says, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. It's just as you said, God.' And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" And then verse 31, "The other men who had gone up with Caleb into the promised land, the other spies, said, 'We're not able to go up against this people because they're stronger than we are.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants.'" That's a little bit different to milk and honey right there, isn't it? Different perspective. "And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And then all the congregation lift up their voice, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt, or if only we died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' And so they said to one another, let's get a new leader and we'll go back to where we came from. We'll go back to Egypt." So here at Kadesh, we see the Israelites take what could have been a moment of great faith, a moment of great victory, a moment of great fruitfulness. And because of their response to that moment, they turned it into one of the lowest points in that whole nation's history. They turned it into one of the lowest points in that entire nation's history. They turned it into a moment of anxiety and fear. They turned it into a moment of doubt and unbelief, a moment that closed the door on the promised land and opened the door to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Here at Kadesh, nothing about God had changed. His promise had not changed. His presence had not changed. He was still the God who had parted the Red Sea. He was still the God who led them by fire by night, cloud by day. He was still the God that had brought them out of Egypt. But what had changed was the faith that the people chose to bring to the moment. And this is where this passage speaks to our everyday lives, because, you see, most of us don't lose our faith in a moment of rebellion. Most of us lose our faith in these moments of decision. where we come to these Kadesh kinds of moments in our life where God has clearly spoken, where his promise is still good, but the reality in front of us feels incredibly intimidating. Where moments where obedience will cost us comfort. Moments where obedience will cause us to have to step out beyond our ability, where faith requires courage. Moments where doing what God wants us to do will take more than our natural ability. For many of us, Kadesh looks like this. It looks like God calling you to step into a new season, but you don't, because all you can see is all the things that are in your way. It's Kadesh can look like God asking him to trust you with your kids, but you don't because you can't see them in a life where you're not in control. Come on, we're getting real in here now. Come on, God invites you to forgive your spouse, but you don't because you can't get past that long list of hurts. God stirs you to step out in faith, to expand your business, to do that course, or to invite that friend to church, but you don't because you're not really sure how that's all going to work out. But what I want to suggest to you today is this, is that if you just choose to bring that approach to your life, then you can be delivered from Egypt, but never enter the promised land. That you can experience the miracles of God and still live below God's intention. That you can have God's promise on your lips and still live in a constant state of anxiety and overwhelm. You see, Kadesh teaches us that unbelief doesn't just delay destiny, that it redefines it. That our response in those moments where we have those decisions to make actually matters. Whether you choose faith or you choose to stay where you're comfortable, it matters in those moments. It matters whether you're willing to go, God, I trust you and I'm going to step over that line even though I don't know what's on the other side. It matters that you choose to say, God, I'm going to go past this. I feel like I haven't got any more to give, but I'm going to push myself past this moment because I know that on the other side you're going to meet me there. It's choosing in those moments of Kadesh to go that step further, to say yes one more time, to cross that line and step into the promised land. You see, when we choose in those moments not to make a choice based on faith, we can choose to turn a short journey into something that is 40 years of wandering. Not because God changed his mind, but because we changed our faith. You see, God's calling us to stay in faith today. And today I want to speak to you on this thought. I've got faith, but I'm wondering. I've got faith, but I'm wondering. You see, we don't want to be a people that live in faith, but are constantly wandering through our lives because we've chosen to close the door on the promises of God. You know, last week we heard Pastor Ken, he brought this message, I've got faith, but I'm frustrated. A brilliant word that pointed out that our faith in God's character must shape our understanding of his timing. And we're going to be hearing from him next week when he encourages us all with the vision of the house, the vision of the church for this year. And what I want you to know this for this year is that when it comes to vision, we need to remember, first of all, that when we plant ourselves in a church, when we are united together under vision, that what the leader brings, what comes from the head flows right down to the tip of the rope. That the anointing that comes with that vision actually flows to the very edge of the garment. It means it doesn't matter how long you've been here, how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter your family situation or any of those things. What matters is if you're united in the house under the vision, then that vision is going to touch your life. And that what gets shared over this next couple of weeks is not just for the house, it's going to be for you. It's going to be for your family. It's going to be for your workplace, for your community. It's going to be for more than just that moment. And can I even suggest to you today as well that you don't have to be exceptionally prophetic to say that it's likely in a year that has the headline of faith that you're going to be asked to step out and do a few things that maybe you're not comfortable doing. That you're going to have a few moments where you're going to find yourself at Kadesh, where you've got a decision to make. Are you going to step out in faith? Or are you going to stay where you're comfortable, where you're going to have those decisions to make, where you're looking at the promised land. You're looking at the fulfillment of God's purpose for you and it's inhabited by giants. Where that's all happening on one side and you have the wilderness on the other, the place you're familiar with. the place that you've journeyed through, the place you've been living in, and you're going to have to decide which way am I going to go? Am I going to step out in faith beyond what's my ability, or am I going to stay in what's comfortable? Am I going to stay where I am? See, without a doubt, this year is going to have Kadesh moments for all of us where we're going to have to make those decisions. And I know I don't want my response to be to choose what keeps me safe and comfortable over what's new in God. That I don't want to choose in those moments to do something that closes the door on a life lived in God's purposes and opens it to wandering. I want to choose, make the kind of choice that allows me to fulfill the purpose of God for my life, even if it makes me a little uncomfortable, even if I don't know how it's going to turn out, even if I'm not sure where it's going to lead, that I want to be the kind of person that says yes when God says, here's the promised land, it's full of giants, but you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Are you with me this morning? You see, in Psalm 95, the psalmist reflects on this situation at Kadesh. He reflects on this Israelites' Kadesh moment, and he gets to the bottom of where this type of response comes from, this type of response that leads to a wandering life. And we're going to go to Psalm 95, verse 8. It says, "Today, if you will hear his voice," and then he quotes God, he says, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me. Though they saw my work, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." You see, here the psalmist pulls back the curtain and shows us what was really going on at Kadesh. You see, it wasn't a strategy problem. It wasn't a leadership problem. It wasn't even ultimately that there's giants in the land kind of problem. God says the problem is the people went astray in their hearts. That was the problem. You see, that's the root of our wandering life. That's the root of being in and out of faith. That's the root of saying yes one day and no the next. That's the root. It's because you're going astray in your heart. It's the straying of our hearts that causes us not to live in faith. They'd seen his works. They'd witnessed his miracles. They were surrounded by the evidence of God's power. Everything in the external was happening for them, but internally something was drifting. Internally their hearts were going astray. In other words, their feet wandered because their hearts wandered first. Their feet wandered because their hearts wandered first. That's what happens to us, right? It's why when you start asking those questions about yourself, why am I stuck? Why am I going in circles? Why am I constantly wandering spiritually? Why do I keep coming back to these same issues, these same frustrations, these same battles? Or when our focus comes onto these external outcomes all of the time, Scripture always brings us back to our hearts. It always brings us back to look inwards. You see, the physical outward working of our lives is often a reflection of the state of our heart. Israel wandered geographically because they were wandering internally. Their lives reflected what was happening in their hearts. A wandering heart is one that is constantly divided. It's one that is in one moment in fear and then in faith. It's one that's trusting in God and knowing that God has called you and then second-guessing the very call that God has spoken over your life. It's trusting in God's ability and then suddenly trusting in your own. It's releasing that issue to God in prayer and then taking it all back into your own hands. It's responding to his voice and delaying your obedience. It's living a life that is constantly going, where your heart is constantly going astray. Where your heart is constantly straying. And so your life also starts to wander. You're not got direction. You're not got purpose because you're not staying in the place of faith. But praise God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus. He gives us the answer. I want you to fast forward to John chapter 7. To when Jesus walked on the earth and he comes into Jerusalem on the day of the great feast, on the Feast of Tabernacles. He comes on the last day, the eighth day. And Scripture tells us in John 7:37 that Jesus stood and cried out on this day, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water. Out of his heart will flow living water. You see, the answer to the wandering heart is found right here in what Jesus said. This is the answer. This is the solution to our propensity to have a wandering heart. Here we hear Jesus is speaking to this great crowd. It actually makes the point that the author makes the point that Jesus stood up and he cried out. Now, one thing we know about Jesus, he was often referred to as a rabbi. Now, when rabbis sat down, they were teaching. But when they stood up and they declared something, they were heralding a significant truth. And so this is what Jesus is doing in this moment at this feast. He is heralding a significant truth. And the truth that he was heralding in that moment is significant, not just because of the words he said, but because of when he said it. You see, this was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. After 7 days of every day, the priest going to the Pool of Siloam and taking a container of water and bringing it to the temple and pouring it on the steps as a symbol of their search for water in the wilderness. On the 8th day, the day that Jesus stood, there was no such act. They didn't do it on the 8th day because the 8th day represented them finally entering into the promised land, where their need for water was finally permanently and completely met. They no longer needed to wander. They no longer needed to go searching. And Jesus says, if you have a straying heart, the answer is found in him. The answer is found in him. You see, the answer to your straying heart, the answer to you wandering in faith and fear, is coming back to the source and making Jesus the one that you rely on, making Jesus the one that you live with, making Jesus the one that it provides you with that living water, that you will never be shifted again. Because when you face that promise that looks overwhelming, you can go, I've got living water in Jesus. He provides me with all I need. You don't need to wander in fear. You don't need to wander in thirst because he is the answer. Because he brings the solution. You see, the solution for the wandering heart is to settle down in the place of abundance. The solution to the wandering heart is to settle down in the place of abundance. It's to stop running from him. It's to stop running from his promises. It's to stop running from his call and to stop seeking assurance in our own ability or that of others. And it's to lay down all our what ifs, just to lay down our fears and our doubts of the unknown and plant our feet in the foundation of the one who can provide for all we need. You see, if the Israelites had got to Kadesh and realized that as they crossed over into that promised land, that God was going to lead them to vanquish every enemy in that place, that God had gone before them and prepared the way, that he was going to tear down the walls of Jericho, that he was going to take out all of those kings, they would never have run. But they forgot who their source was. They had forgotten who'd brought them to that place of Kadesh, and that's where their hearts went astray. You see, we don't want to forget today. You don't want to be the kind of person who goes into 2026 forgetting that you have all that you need in Jesus, that he is your source, that he is the one where only you will find that living water that flows up out of your heart. You see, in John 10:10, Jesus described the kind of life that he desires to bring to us. He said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. When we look at that word abundantly, they actually find it a little bit tricky to translate because it means way more than what we think it means. It means super abundant. It means God wants to bring something that is excessive, that is without measure, that is above and beyond what you could ask, think, or imagine. This is what God wants to bring into your life. You see, God didn't release the Israelites from slavery in Egypt so they could wander in the wilderness. He released them so they could go into the promised land. And then the same way, Jesus doesn't just save you from your old life. He wants to enrich you for the new one. And I'm not talking about that genie in the bottle kind of way of approaching God, where he just responds to all your wishes. I'm not talking about an Oprah Winfrey kind of way where, you know, you just reach under your seat and there's a set of keys there for that new car. I'm not talking about any of those kinds of things. I'm talking about that kind of life where we look at every opportunity and every circumstance with the understanding that God can supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. I'm talking about that kind of life where you have that internal contentment and that trust in Jesus that isn't thrown by circumstances, that isn't thrown by all the potential what ifs that could happen as he calls you into more, that isn't thrown when you feel a bit weary, when you're a bit unwell, that isn't thrown when you've had a bad day at work, when things don't go to plan, when life throws you a curveball, when you don't get the grades or the guy or the girl, or when you're facing that diagnosis, or you're living on the edge of your finances, when you're coming up all kinds of obstacles in your life, that you can stand firm and secure no matter what life brings to you, knowing that as you lean into your source, that living water is going to flow. That as you lean into your source, you're going to have all you need according to his riches and glory. And that out of your life will flow living water. You know, if you're struggling here today and, you know, work's pretty full on, and then you walk in your door of your house at night and you got nothing to give to the family or the people in your world, you need living water. Come on, you need living water. You need him to be your source, not yourself. If you're trying to get around your friends and encouraging them to Jesus, but you just feel like all the pressures of the world are on your shoulders right now, you need living water. So you've got something to give, that something is going to flow out of you when you have those conversations. We need living water in our lives. We need to stop running from all the pressures. We need to stop running from all the demands. We need to stop running even from God's purposes and say, I'm here and I'm leaning into the source. And that's where I find my living water. You know, a while back God reminded me of a game that I used to play when I was a child. My siblings and I would go down the beach. My parents would take us and we would go stand on the edge of the water, and as the waves pulled out, we'd run in after the waves, and then when they came back in, we'd run up the beach, usually screaming to get away from the waves so they didn't touch us. It was a little kid's game to play, right? And we would do that. We would run in and then out. We'd run in and then out, never allowing the waves to touch us, always avoiding them, managing to get away. But then as I got older and taller and stronger, my dad taught me that I didn't need to run away from the waves anymore. He taught me that I could walk into that water and I could plant my feet in the sand. And when that wave came rolling in, I could just lean in and dive under it or whatever I needed to do, and it would just wash over me. Didn't knock me over, didn't hurt me. I didn't need to be scared of it anymore because he'd shown me how to plant my feet in the sand. And you know what? That's what I believe our Heavenly Father wants to teach us this year. He wants to bring us to another level of maturity. That we're not going to be the kind of people who are running in and out of the waves, where you run into the water and you're faced with the plan and purpose of God and you run up the beach screaming. You don't want to be the kind of person who runs into the water and you come up against that obstacle or that diagnosis or that relationship issue, or you're just feeling too tired or you've had enough or you're overwhelmed and then you're running back up the beach screaming again. You want to be the kind of person who approaches every Kadesh moment in faith, who plants your feet in the sand, who presses in against the wave and allows it to wash over you. That you fully embrace the plan and purpose of God. That you fully step into all that he has for you. That nothing, no circumstance can throw you. But you stay fully planted in faith. That you live your life for him. Don't let your Kadesh moment pass you by this year. Come on, we're going to be a church who chooses faith. We're going to be a church that chooses all that God has for us. Who's not fearful of the waves. He's not fearful of his plan and purpose. He's not fearful of the obstacles that may be in our way. We're going to say, come on, God, let's go. Let's run. Let's lean into the waves. You know, what I love about the Old Testament when you read these accounts in Scripture is that they always point us to Jesus. They always point us to Jesus. You know, when they were walking through the desert, they found living water. And it was a place that was completely unexpected. Moses was told to go and strike a rock with his staff, and living water came pouring out. It's such a picture of what Jesus did for us. our lives are dry and barren. Our lives are without hope, without purpose. And when he was struck, living water flowed out. Not just water to sustain us, but his life laid down for us gives us a completely new life.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.